Well, isn't it fantastic, church, that in a season like we're living, like we're experiencing, that we can continue to move forward as a church, and to have Rafaro, Ben and Beck taking on these new roles in the life of our church, a student pastor and young adults pastors, is really, really exciting. And we're excited about what God has in store for them. It's been brilliant to be watching them over the years. And you know, church, there's something to be said for long obedience in the right direction. Long obedience in the right direction. It's amazing how there would be many people that like to swap and change things very quickly in their life. But long obedience in the right direction always pays amazing dividends and brings a great harvest in our lives. And so I want to commend them to you, and we're super excited about what's going to happen. Hey, listen, if the new lockdown has hit you hard in spirit, in your emotions, then we want you to know, church, you're not alone. We're standing with you in faith and in prayer. And my prayer today is that this message will really be a great encouragement to you in this renewed season of lockdown. I want to take this moment as well to give a special shout out to Dave Sharp, CFO in the life of church. It was his birthday this week. Dave Sharp, we want to say happy birthday. You're an amazing man of God. You have an incredible wife and children. And we are so thankful to God for you and for the continued impact you have in the life of our church. You're a special man, and we think you're absolutely brilliant. Well, you know, when we look back into 2020, I'm sure that you, like us, we started this year with great hope and expectation of what the year would look like. I was thinking back just this week about the series that we started this year with. The first series of the year, we looked at great exploits. We looked at grit. We looked at contenders. We did our pastors' leaders' conference here, Culture Summit, at the end of February on winging it, the leadership art of making it up as you go along. And then all of a sudden, we're in lockdown. And the reality is this, is we have many questions. I'm sure you do too, of what next, what the future will look like. And the question is this, is what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you have more questions than you have answers? Well, the answer is simple for Christian people. What we do is we open the book of books. We go to the book and we see what God has to say. So right now, I want to take you to the book of Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read some famous verses together. It says this, verse 16, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit, a demonic spirit, by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed, he was so vexed, Pastor Mark Foster, so irritated that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, above which there is no other name,'" audacious church, "in the name of Jesus Christ," it's amazing what happens when you invoke the authority and the name and the power of Jesus into your situation. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that the hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them in front of the authorities. They lied about them. They stripped them. They beat them with rods. They threw them in prison. Verse 25, it says this, "At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. There was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This message is called Lockdown, Look Up. Lockdown, Look Up. Father, I pray in these moments we have, Holy Spirit, for every single person watching this broadcast live right now or watching the repeat in days or weeks to come, I pray, Holy Spirit, that your presence would be so powerful in people's lives that truly in lockdown, you would cause us to look up, lift our faith, lift our spirits, our thinking, and our emotions, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And the whole church said, amen. Listen, in this season, lockdown, there are three things that I believe that we should focus on right now. Three things are happening. And the first thing is this, is what is happening to you? What is happening to you? Lockdown is very much about things that are out of our control, out of our hands, things are happening to us. I think when you look at Paul and Silas, you realize the things that were happening to them were absolutely crazy. They were harassed and they were arrested and they were falsely accused. They were lied about. They were stripped. They were beaten. They were left naked in the inner cell in stocks and chains. Paul and Silas were dealt with a very severe blow with things that were outside of their control, very much like our lockdown right now. I don't know where you were on, was it Friday night when our Prime Minister, or Thursday night when our Prime Minister, the Health Secretary announced new lockdown measures for Manchester, but I was driving home from a wedding down south. And as I was driving into Manchester, my phone vibrated in the car. The headline came up, new lockdown measures in place for Manchester. And I, like you, I guess, had that feeling of, oh, not again. How long is this going to be? What's it going to look like? Because, of course, we were excited about having the Manchester Auditorium, full of people, socially distanced. Of course, Chester is happening right now. And I began to think about our lockdown. In fact, I was reminded on Thursday night of my nana. My nana was called Winifred. She was born in 1906 in the valleys of South Wales in a coal mining community. She was born in 1906. Now, the reality is this, is that in 2020, we can feel like what we're going through is unique to our generation. But I wonder if you realize that in actual fact, every generation faces hardship, difficulty, and lockdown just like we are right now. My nana was born in 1906 in Wales. She lived through World War I, where 22 million died. The Spanish flu then came around, 50 million people died. She lived through the Great Depression with huge inflation and unemployment globally. She lived through World War II, where 45 million people died. She lived through the Korean War, the Suez Crisis, the Vietnam War, the Cold War, the Falklands War. That's to let you know that every generation, what we're going through is not really unique to us. It may be new to us, but it's not unique to humanity because every single generation goes through a lockdown of some type. Now, it may not have been called a lockdown historically. Lockdown may be a new word. In fact, one of my children this week around the meal table said, have we ever really used the word lockdown before we have during this pandemic? And the reality is this, probably not. It's a new word to us, but it's not new to humanity. The more sinister aspect of what was taking place in Acts chapter 16 for Paul and Silas is found in the opening line that we read, where it says this, it says, once we were going to the place of prayer where we were intercepted by a demonic spirit. You see, the lockdown of Acts chapter 16, it was preceded by and driven with an attempt to stop Paul and Silas encountering the presence of God. An audacious church, I want to say this. Any lockdown that excludes the presence of God is almost impossible to bear. And I want to encourage you that in this season, that if you are trying to live this lockdown without having God in the middle, without having God's presence at work in your life, it will become more and more difficult to bear. Your mental health will definitely be challenged. Your emotional health will be challenged, will be affected in many grave ways. But when we get God in the midst, let me say it again. When we get God in the midst, it is amazing how things can change. You can be in a prison cell like Paul and Silas. You can be in a lockdown part two like many of us are. You can be experiencing difficulty in a lockdown. But when you know God is there, it changes everything. Let me read you some more words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 11. You probably know this. He says this, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at sea. I've been in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Talk about lockdown. Talk about challenge. Now, the thing is this, he wrote those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in 59 AD. After that, he was imprisoned for another 2 years. He then went on trial. He was then shipwrecked. Then he was bitten by a snake. And in 61 AD, he found himself back in a prison cell. If you like, back in lockdown part two. Now, what would you do? What did Paul do? I think for many of us, we'd genuinely be asking questions. If I was the Apostle Paul, I'd be saying, God, where are you? God, what are you up to? God, I thought you were good. God, I thought you had plans in place. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't even know if this is worth it. Maybe that's what you've thought of late. Maybe walking through a season of isolation and lockdown again. But what did Paul do in 61 AD? He gets a parchment and a quill, and he writes these words in Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice what he did. He's back in prison. He has a prison number. He's called a prisoner, but Paul refused to see himself as a prisoner because he recognized his confinement was not his assignment. And I want to say this over you, Audacious Church, that the lockdown is not your assignment. God has not finished with you yet. God has not finished with the church of God in this nation yet. God has not finished with Audacious Church Chester, North, South, and Manchester. God is not done with you yet. How do I know that? It's because Psalm 16, and let me prophesy this over you right now, church. It says this, Lord, you have assign me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Now listen, you can read social media and you can look at online news, and before long, we can have fear gripping our soul. But look at this meta-narrative over our lives. You've made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Say that with me. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. What am I saying to you? Lockdown, look up. Look up to the God of heaven who's assigned you pleasant places. The inheritance is great. He's assigned you a portion and a cup. Boundary lines falling for you in great places. Friend, that is the meta narrative. That is the overarching scripture over your life and my life. Are we in lockdown? Yes. Is it tough? Yes. Is it hard to bear to go through it again? Yeah, for many of us it is. But friend, don't look down, look up. Don't get locked down. Look up to the God of heaven and earth and realize that merely what's happening is this, is that things are happening to you. Lockdown is firstly about what happens to you. Secondly, lockdown is about what happens in you.
Because it's one thing to have things happen to you, but something completely different for something to happen in you. And I think actually that this is where success in life is determined. Success in life is not about what happens to you. It's about what you allow to happen in you. I mean, have you noticed how some people are just never content? It doesn't matter how many things change in their lives. They can change job, they can change house, they can change church, they can change country, they can change relationships, but there's something about them that is never, ever quite content. Why is that? It's because success is not determined by the outside things. It's actually determined by what happens on the inside of you. And we find this played out in Acts chapter 16. Because for Paul and Silas, it says in verse 25 that at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening. I love this part of the Bible. I mean, that's audacious. You've been falsely accused. You've been arrested. You've been stripped naked in front of the crowds. You have been beaten with rods. You've been put in the inner cell in stocks and chains. How's this for an audacious response? They prayed and they sang hymns. Do you remember at the beginning of the story, they'd planned to pray, but on their way to praying, they were intercepted by a demonic spirit. The devil doesn't want you to pray. And I want you to know that in this season right now, now is a really good time to make that internal decision. I refuse to allow lockdown to get me down. I choose to look up. How do I do that? I do that by praying, and I do that by singing hymns. I mean, if Paul and Silas had social media accounts, I can guarantee you, church, that it wouldn't be like many Christians' social media accounts. There was no negativity there. There was no pessimism there. There was no swearing. There is no attack. And I want you to know that while we don't like what's happening to us, Audacious Church, you are totally in control of what's happening in you. Paul and Silas were in total lockdown. No Netflix, no Deliveroo, no Amazon, no pizza. But in lockdown, they made a choice to look up. And right now in this season, there are two things that can begin to happen to you. The first thing that can happen, in you is this, is that you can be filled with fear or you can be filled with faith. And my challenge to you right now, Audacious Church, God's people, people after the heart of God, worshiping God, what are you going to choose to allow to grow in you? Are you going to allow fear to lock you down, or are you going to allow faith to lift you up? Are you going to allow the fear of what could happen negatively to pull you down into a prison cell, or are you going to make a choice right now in this season to look up and to see God and to allow faith to rise on the inside? You know something, I know it's a tragic season. And I know many, many people have lost their lives. And it's been really sad to see that in a season of lockdown, many people have made life decisions. Church, I want you to know that lockdown is a very, very bad time to make big life decisions. The best decision you can do is to pray and to praise. But what I've noticed is this, is fear gripping people. Fear, it's one thing for fear to grip society at large, but it's another thing when I see fear gripping the lives of Christian people. Fear, what's happening in you? Is it fear? Let me read you what the Bible says in Isaiah 41. It says, so do not fear. It's a command from heaven to earth. It's a command from heaven to you right now in lockdown. So do not fear. When it comes to COVID-19, so do not fear. When it comes to the job and financial security, so do not fear. And it seems easier said than done, but God goes on here in Isaiah and says, for I am with you, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you. Friend, don't let fear happen on the inside. Fear magnifies the wrong things. It makes mountains out of molehills. Fear is merely faith that things won't work out. Fear is the dark room where negatives develop. Fear has a very large shadow, but in and of itself is a very small thing. Fear will cause you to lose perspective. We saw that played out in Numbers chapter 13, where Moses sends spies into the promised land. The land that God had promised to the people. And 10 spies came back in Numbers 13 and say, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They're bigger than we are. It's a loss of perspective. Notice this. God led them out of Egypt. God led them through the sea where Pharaoh's army was done away with. But with their cataclysmic loss of perspective, fear caused them to miss out on the promised land. Fear caused a whole generation to miss out. And listen, my heart's prayer, Sophie and I are praying that you would not allow fear to hold you back from the promises of God in your life. We got to make a decision. We refuse to allow fear to grow on the inside. Today we have fear of failure. We have fear of rejection. We have fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of known, fear of the pandemic. But the Bible says, God speaking in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Come on, friend. I want you right now to begin to speak the name of Jesus over your situation, to actually speak to that fear and say, fear, you have no place in my life, that even though I'm not in control of what is happening to me, I am in control of what is happening to me. So fear, you are now excused from my life. I get rid of you in the same way that Paul took authority over the spirit in the Bible. Church, I believe that true fear is a spirit. And we need to take control in God's name. We need to speak the name of Jesus over that fearful thinking and those fearful feelings and those fearful emotions and not allow fear to happen in us. You see, two things can happen in us. The first thing is fear can happen in us. But secondly, faith can happen in us. Oh, may we be a people of faith right now. Audacious Church, may you be a person of faith. May you lead with faith. May you walk with faith. May you talk with faith. Oh my gosh, may you social media with faith. Because that's what the God's people do. That's what Paul and Silas did here. They allowed faith. Instead of looking down, they looked up. We may be in lockdown, but we're going to look up to the God of heaven and earth. We refuse to allow fear to dictate our lives. We're going to be people of faith. We know, don't we? Hebrews 11 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want you to know that faith is not knowing what the future holds. It's knowing who holds it. So you don't need to have all the answers. You just got to know who's got your future. Who's got your future? The one in Jeremiah 29, 11 who says, for I know the plans I have for you, says God, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Who's got your future? The one who says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man and woman, they are ordered by the Lord. Who's got your future? Romans 8, 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who's got your future? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I am confident that he who began a good work will carry it on to the day of completion. You don't need to know all the answers. You just got to trust God above, the God who loves you. When you make a decision in lockdown to look up, it's amazing how faith begins to lift. You get a new perspective. You see things differently. You feel differently. You think differently. Everything changes because of faith. Let me say it again. Everything changes because of faith. Everything. Faith doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. Faith moves the mountains the doubt creates. And I love what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. They positioned themselves for God to do something. How do they position themselves, Glenn? They were in stocks and change. Well, they positioned themselves on the inside. On the inside. Faith is a position. And I want you to know that today you can position yourself in the presence of God in such a way that faith begins to lift. Don't look down. Look up. Don't focus on what could go wrong. Focus on what could go right. Somebody recently said to me this. They said, Glenn, what do you do when you don't feel full of faith? What do you do when you don't feel full of faith? Well, I'll tell you what I do when I don't feel full of faith. When I don't feel full of faith, I read my Bible. I listen to the stories coming out of the church, testimonies of what God is doing in other people's lives. And I make a decision. I'm not going to look down. I'm going to look up in Jesus' name. Three things to focus on in lockdown. Firstly, what's happening to you? More importantly, what's happening in you? Either fear or faith. And the third thing is what happens through you. Because if you remember, the Bible says that in this passage, there was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. The prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Not just Paul and Silas, but everybody, all the prisoners were set free. Is it possible in this season that what God wants to do is not just set you free, but set free your family and your friends, your work colleagues from the prison sentence that maybe they find themselves in? The jailer woke up and when he saw the prison doors opening, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew he was going to die anyway. Because the custom was this, if the prisoners escaped, the jailer in charge, he and his family would be killed. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So right now in lockdown, it's about what's happening to you. It's about what's happening in you. But also, it's about what God wants to do through you. And there are two things that are happening right now in this season that God wants to do through you. The first thing is that of miracles. God wants to do miracles through you. And sometimes we're so focused on a future miracle that we forget about now. Some of you have been believing for a miracle for such a long time that it's almost like you've lost faith for God to do a miracle now. Because it's easier to believe that God will do something at a future point than do something now. But make no mistake, Audacious Church, there is a miracle waiting for you now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but there's a miracle waiting for you right now. Now, because God is a real-time God. God is a now-time type of God. And I want you to know, church, I have got faith for a miracle for you right now. Lockdown. It's about what happens to you. It's about what happens in you. And it's about the miracles that God wants to do through you right now. So let me ask you this question. What miracle are you believing God for? What are you waiting on God to do? What miracle is it that you've said God will do it at some future point, but in actual fact, I believe God wants to do something now? Have you got faith for a miracle? I've got faith for a miracle. There are thousands of people through Audacious Church who are standing in faith right now, believing for a miracle for you. So I want you to do something crazy. If you're believing God for a miracle through you right now, then I want you to close your eyes. I want you to reach out your hands towards your TV screen or towards your tablet device because I want to pray for you for a miracle right now. Father, we are so thankful that in Acts chapter 16, the miracle was now. Father, I pray that you will forgive us for putting off the miracle for a future date. But right now, God, believing that faith is for now, we believe that right now, God, you will work a miracle. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for every single person whose faith is stirring in this moment, believing for a miracle. Jesus, I pray that in this moment, by your might and by your power, you will move in a sovereign way. You will intervene in every circumstance and in every situation. And even right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you would move a miracle in people's hearts and lives. Father, I pray you'd cause our attention to be lifted. We choose not to look down. We choose to lift up. I pray right
now across the life of our church for healings to flow. I pray for financial provision. I pray for new jobs to come around. Lord, I pray as I have been praying over the months of COVID that the angel of death would not touch this house, COVID-19. God, I'm speaking a miracle of faith. I'm speaking a miracle of provision, a miracle of healing. I pray right now that you would lift, Lord, any suicidal thinking that any person watching this may have. Father, I pray for any person battling mental ill health. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life, freshness into people's thinking. Lord, I pray for healing, physical healing, all across the life of our church, because we believe in a miracle right now. In Jesus' name. Would it be true to say that God wants to do miracles through you? We certainly see that played out in Scripture. The second thing that we see that happens in Scripture through Paul and Silas, the miracle is this: salvation. Because the jailer, he comes in, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And maybe I can pose this question as we finish, is that if it's true that we have a delightful inheritance, then what about the greatest miracle of all? The miracle of salvation. Salvation coming to your household. Salvation coming to your family, to your friends. I love how in the Bible we see so many accounts of whole households turning to faith. In fact, that's what took place in Acts chapter 16. The jailer's household turned to faith. I believe God is interested in the individual, but he's also interested in her households. And right now, can we believe in this renewed season of lockdown that the greatest miracle of all that would flow through our lives is the miracle of salvation? Friends, that's why I say, let's be careful how we speak. Let's be careful how we walk. Let's be careful what we social media about, because there are people who are watching God at work in you right now. Are we gonna look down or are we gonna look up? God, I pray that in our households, you would bring salvation. Lockdown, look up, church. The meta-narrative of Scripture is that God's got you, God's with you, God's for you, God's behind you, he's above you, he's below you. And right now, I believe that the great miracle that God wants to work through you is salvation. Salvation in Chester, salvation in Manchester, salvation in North Wales, in Derbyshire, in Cheshire, in Lancashire, in all the areas that are represented in the life of Audacious Church. We're gonna pray and believe together right now. I'm gonna believe for miracles and salvation to come to your house. I wanna pray for your family. I wanna pray for your friends, for salvation to come through you. But also, let me take this moment right now to say this, that if you are watching this broadcast and you're saying, you know, Pastor Glenn, I don't know Jesus. I'm not in a relationship with God. I don't know what it is to have Jesus in my life. Then I want you to know that right now, you can know what it is to have eternal life with Jesus. Jesus didn't just come 2,000 years ago to give you a better life. He came so that you may have eternal life. And I want you to know that eternal life is a very long time. And even though right now on this planet we experience lockdown and difficulty and hardship, the reality is this, is that when you know Jesus, the Bible promises that there will come a moment where we will step into an eternity where there is no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no lockdown, there's no hardship. But what we have to do in our earthly life right now is make a decision. Jesus, I ask you to become the center of my life. The God of the Bible, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who sent the Son 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who came to bridge the gap, the divide between heaven and earth. But all we need to do is walk across the bridge into eternal life. How do we do that? By receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, you're saying, Glenn, please include me in this prayer. I don't know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. This prayer I'm praying is just for you. You can pray it quietly in your heart as well. Father, I thank you for this moment. God, I haven't worked this whole thing out. but I can't deny what's happening in this moment. My heart is being stirred. I realize that I've lived my life without you. I'm sorry that I've lived my life that way. Right now, I ask you to forgive me of the way I've lived my life, the wrongdoing. I turn to you. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. In this moment of lockdown, I choose to look up and recognize, God, that there is a God who knows me and who loves me. I thank you. I give you praise. Because you've heard this prayer, you are now my God and I am your child. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let me say this. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, what I want you to do is I want you to go onto our church website, audaciouschurch.com/Jesus. It's going to take you to our Jesus page. If you register your details there, then we want to get something to you in the post and help you in your first step of knowing Jesus. Listen, I also want to pray for miracle of salvation to come to households right now as well. There are many of you right now and you're believing for miracles. You're believing for exactly what took place in Acts 16 to happen to families, to happen to neighbors and work colleagues. We're going to take this moment and we're going to pray over your family right now. Listen, we were always one by one. We were one, W-O-N, by one, O-N-E. We were one by one. And the one who came from heaven came to win us into relationship with him. But listen, church, I really believe right now that as faith has been stirred in your heart in a season of lockdown, faith is being stirred and causing you to look up. I believe that in you and through you right now, we can see salvation come to family members. Why? Because of the way we chose to look up during a season of lockdown. So I want you to think right now about family members and friends who you're believing God for, that God had touched their hearts, they'd come to salvation. And I want to take a moment to pray for them. Right now, would you think about them, call them by name, and let's pray. Father, I believe right now, you are the God who answers prayer. And Lord, thank you for this amazing story of the jailers who actually came to faith because of what they saw happening through Paul and Silas. Lord, I believe right now in this moment, as we choose again to engage with you through faith in a season of lockdown, Lord, we are believing that in this season, we will see family, friends, husbands, wives, children, extended family come to faith because of the miracle of salvation that was born through us in Jesus' name.